Sports, wine, life. This is the Macko and Cos podcast.
Welcome, everybody. It is the triumphant return. Actually, it's only been about a week and a half, but when it's been this long, I miss you, Bob. It's the Macko and Cos podcast. I'm Matt Cos. That's Bob Mackwitz. How you doing, buddy?
Great. Let's just call it the triumphant return edition of Macko and Cos.
Yeah, exactly. It's been like, feels like
10 days.
10 days, something like that. Yeah.
It's the summer. There's going to be more of this in the future. You got places to go. I got places to go.
You go.
Nobody's listening.
No, that's not true. The summer. I don't think podcast numbers really. The listenership that thing changes because you download. It's just part of your life. But you're the busier guy than me. You're the mover and the shaker. Beyond, I'm driving to Portland, Maine tomorrow for a wedding. That's really the only big plan I've got for the summer. I'm going to Peru in September. But, I'm around. You're the busy guy.
Okay, we got to go over this in two parts.
Yeah.
Let's do Peru in September 1st. Is that a wine place?
No. It's for Machu Picchu. We're going to do the, me and Amy and a friend of hers and her sister, Christy, we're going. And the thing about this trip, there's two things that is going to happen that rarely happens for me. There is a decided lack of wineries, zero, and I will be camping because we're going to do the four-day hike to Machu Picchu. So that's going to be at least 3 nights of me camping in tents with nary a winery in sight.
Okay, so now this requires us to break this down further.
Yeah.
Have you ever camped before?
It's been a while.
Okay.
Yeah, I have camped.
And have you ever gone that long without wine before? I guess when you had your hernia, you couldn't.
Yeah, without hernia, marathon training. Yeah.
Now, will you drink bad Peruvian wine before you drink no wine?
Oh, that's a good question. I'd probably go with the no wine. What I'm hoping for is a decent Malbec from Argentina.
Well, we're all looking for that.
Or like a decent Chilean Bordeaux blend would be a godsend. But the thing is, you can't bring much of it with you because here's the thing.
You're hiking.
You're hiking.
How can you bring any wine with you? Are you going to have a wine Sherpa?
You know, it's funny.
You're not saying no right away.
I'm not saying no. No, because there is the option. You can pay more to have a Sherpa come with you. And I would not, there will be guides there that are going to carry the tents and stuff. But you could pay more. Some people pay more for another Sherpa. I would not do that.
If you were a Sherpa, would you refuse to go if you weren't carrying food or medical supplies or bedding, but you were actually just bringing good wine?
Yeah, exactly. No,
that might be, if you do that, Matt, that might be the single douchiest thing any human being has. You become the Ryan Lochte of Canadian sports media.
Oh, 100%. Absolutely. The worst would be getting the Sherpa. Could you please decant this? And the red is a couple degrees too warm. Find a river or some sort of cooling agent. Please cool down this wine. That would be at a D-bag level that I could never hit.
The other thing about Machu Picchu is, and I don't want to disrespect it because it's a place in the world, but it's also like, it is the Bob Marley's legend of exotic locations.
Oh, yeah.
In that it's almost like everybody goes there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to sound ridiculous. It's not like you're going to St. Petersburg, Florida or something.
Yeah.
But it's on everybody's bucket list.
It is.
What is so freaking great about Machu Picchu that it's on everybody's bucket list?
I think it's Machu Picchu, by the way, Bob, if you're going to pronounce it. Actually, who am I to pronounce things? This is something that Amy and Christy, they've wanted to do since I met them like 11 years ago and finally able to do it. I have two or three people that have done it and they all say it's spectacular. This is one of those trips where the girls want to do it. I'm like, great, we'll go do it.
Okay. Yeah. Good answer. But you do agree, though, for whatever strange reason, this one place, this one set of ruins has captured the imagination of North Americans.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Absolutely. Yeah, okay. Fully agree.
My move is I want to do Kilimanjaro one day.
Mm-hmm. Girls have done that. They've already climbed Kilimanjaro.
Have they really?
Yep.
Man, they are something else.
Yeah.
Okay, so we called it the triumphant return of the Macko and Cos podcast, but we should call it the startling revelations.
Yeah, you said edition. You said you've got some big news announcements.
Huge. Each announcement more shocking than the last. We'll do some as we go throughout the show.
Sure.
The least shocking announcement, we'll start with the bronze medalist first, is that you owe me $10.
Yes.
Because Doug Ford is the premier.
I know. I do owe you $10. I can pay off that one right now if you want.
Sure. All right. At the end of the pod.
All right. Yeah.
The second one.
Doug won.
The second one, and we could probably get into sports talk right out of this, is I've got sad, confusing news in my life.
Really?
Yeah.
What's that?
Apparently, I'm good at golf.
What?
Yeah.
You blue blood elitist.
Right. Like, look, you're the one with the wine Sherpa, and yet I'm the one with, apparently, with the textbook swing.
Really?
I went to the range.
Okay.
And I was hammering them, Matt.
Yeah.
And after about 10 balls, it was boring just hitting them, so I was trying to hit targets with my drives, and I could do that. And somebody said, hey, you have a natural swing. So, like, I had a, I don't know, what's one of the smaller clubs, like a 4-iron?
Sure.
Sure. I had a 4-iron, and there was, like, a flag 150 feet away, and I was just practicing hitting it, and I kept dropping them, like, 10, 15 feet away from the flag.
Really?
Yeah.
Judge Smales over here dominating on the golf course. You're going to join Bushwood.
This is the problem, Matt, is I'm not really that good at very many sports.
Yeah.
I'm a terrible basketball player, a terrible skater in hockey. Mm-hmm. I'm an okay baseball player, but it's hard to, you know, you don't get a lot of pickup baseball.
Yeah, it's not, yeah, it's true.
So... Is it possible, just for the sake of my own self-esteem, I have to take up golf now? A sport that I hate?
For your self-esteem, yes, but there's no way you'll pick it up. Because the thing about golf, golf is such a time drain. Like, even going and playing nine holes, you're going to have to, like, if you play 18, you better carve out about 5.5 hours of your day. Because, you know, it's driving there, getting ready, getting set, and driving there. You know, that's a problem. That's another issue right there for you.
This might be the only time where a driver and my name are connected.
Yeah, because let's face it, I don't think people bust too many golf courses.
Can you imagine me sitting on the subway with my golf clubs and my little outfit? Now, the contrarian in me wants to go dressed as I usually dress, so I could go in like a Bad Brains t-shirt.
That's
and a
right.
pair of jeans.
Stick it to the man. Stick it to authority.
You know, I kind of been that guy already, though.
Yeah, you've done that. Take that, Squaresville. Look at me.
I don't know. I just wanted to throw this out, Matt, that I was shocked to discover that apparently I'm a natural at golf.
So you're sort of like, you're the Happy Gilmore. You're Happy Gilmore.
Oh my God. I'm Happy Mac. I'm Mackie Gilmore.
You're Mackie Gilmore. Wow. Well, I hope I remember that line and use it for the Twitter promo. Mackie Gilmore. That's great.
That's true. Maybe I'll just get a hockey jersey and go out.
Yeah.
Well, I could do that.
Congratulations, Bob.
Thank you. Now, that's not the most shocking announcement.
By the way, please say hello to Mitt Romney for me.
Am I going to wind up voting for Doug Ford in the next election if I start golfing now?
See, when I think of Doug Ford people, actually, I don't think golfers.
No, you're right, actually. They probably,
liberals
yeah,
are
they'd
the
be
golfers.
More inclined. You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're the establishment.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's a good point, Matt. It's a good point.
Mini golfers maybe are the Doug Ford.
When you're firing a ball into an alligator's mouth.
Yeah. By the way, real quick to the everyone on Twitter that was angry after that election, and I'll say the front end. I voted NDP, and the woman in my riding, she won. So, you know, I mean, I did my best. But when you go on Twitter and say that everyone who voted for Doug Ford is a horrible human being, it's not really a way of, you know, trying to get things done or reach out. So that's all.
There are people who have... There are all kinds of reasons why people voted for Doug Ford. Yep. I tried to ask as many people who were voting for him why they were, because I want to know, like, what's the argument? First of all, what am I missing?
Yep.
Second of all, is there a discussion to be had here in which you could probably say, look at it this way?
Yeah.
I don't know, people don't tend to change their minds that much. Mm-hmm. It seems like the only way anyone wins is you mobilize your base and then you hope new voters come out. And there's a 51% turnout.
It was only 51%?
Maddie, we live...
Oh, my God.
The worst thing you could say about this election is we didn't even crack 52%.
Oh, my... Is that it?
Well, I guess people just get so mad. They don't like any of the candidates. God. They're like, they don't want to... They don't want to be responsible for anybody who they don't like getting voted, so they just don't vote.
I got it. Like, you know what it is?
A lot of spoiled ballots, apparently.
Really?
Yeah, tons.
Man, I live in the Twitterverse too much, because every fourth tweet on the day of the election was go vote, or people, you know, showing what a hero they were for voting.
Well, you know who doesn't care about Twitter?
Mm.
People.
Yeah.
Generally speaking, that's not always true. But by and large, it's just not, you know, it's funny too. Polling, I was talking with somebody who was real smart about this, and he said polling in a lot of cases when you have an unpopular candidate like Doug Ford is hard to believe, because people will say they're undecided before they will say they're voting for Ford.
Yeah.
Because they're guilty, they're going to do it.
Yeah.
They don't want to get shamed by the libs out there.
Yep.
Huh. And you saw that with the Trump thing, right? Like,
yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
The polling was wrong because people just didn't answer truthfully.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, I owe you $10.
$10, buddy.
I feel I should give you a.
I can keep more of that $10 now than I could have 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, I feel like that's true. Good line. I feel like I should give you 11, considering the amount of seats that the PCs won. I'm like, really? Yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
we got to get out of our urban Twitter bubble of Toronto.
That's true. We are. I'm in the bubble.
Oh, you are totally.
I'm in Parkdale. Like that's Parkdale. The Brooklyn of Canada.
Yeah, that is true.
I'm awful.
Yeah, that's what real estate agents will say as well.
I think Pete Davidson's my next door neighbor. All right. So anyway, we can either get the U.S. Open starts tomorrow, but I really don't have much to say about it.
I got nothing to say about the U.S. Open.
I think, ironically, weirdly, maybe it's just because it's the summer, but the most interesting thing is all soccer stuff right now.
Soccer? For me, it is what's going on in Ottawa with Carlson and Mike Hoffman.
Okay. Well, would you
that should be the biggest one. But yeah,
would you rather start there?
No, we can start with soccer because of the newsiest thing that happened just a couple hours ago is that the United Bid of Canada, the United States, and America will be hosting the 2026 World Cup, beating out Morocco, a population of 33 million.
Take that, Marrakesh.
Yeah, exactly, whoever that fella is. I mean, it's huge news for Canada. I mean, I know it's 8 years away, but you have to feel this will be a big boost to the Canadian men's team, which, you know, has not distinguished itself. Last time they qualified was 1986. The women's group is doing far better, but this should be a huge boost for soccer in this country.
Anything that makes sport at the forefront of your national moment.
Yeah.
It's always fun.
Yeah.
Even if you think in the lead up, oh, this isn't going to be so great. I mean, even the Pan Am Games in Toronto were kind of fun.
And by the way, the Pan Am Games were a big success. And I can tell you, I lived in the center of it because all the Pan Am Games where the athletes stayed, the staging ground was 4 feet away from where I live.
And you can look out now at all kinds of buildings that were put up because of the Pan Am Games. Like there are all kinds of residences that are now residential, right?
Giant pool just up the block from me, in what was considered before some of the bad part of the town. Is now like gorgeous pools and stuff.
That's true. Yeah. Actually, Regent Park is so different from when we were growing up.
Oh, yeah.
It has completely been refurbished.
Yep.
What I find most interesting about this is that the most likely site to be the Canadian hub for this event is Edmonton.
Yeah.
You don't really think of Edmonton when you think of glitzy international event.
Nope.
But they've got the biggest arena.
Yep.
60,000 people, Commonwealth. And they did the World Cup for the women back in 2015.
Yeah.
So there's already, and the event went, well, there was some issues about the stadium. But regardless, like it happened.
Listen, there's always issues and they pulled it off fairly well.
It happened.
Yeah.
So that's kind of weird, isn't it? Like Edmonton, Canada's beacon of the world.
Yeah. Montreal, Toronto, Edmonton. Well, I mean, part of it is Vancouver pulled out.
Yeah.
And BC right. Place, they pulled out. So then it became those three cities. And
it's too bad because if you could have gotten Seattle involved, that would have been nice because you could just travel to the one place and then bop back and forth between Vancouver and Seattle. It's an easy drive.
A little and also just more of a, it feels weird that Canada's involved, but the West Coast isn't.
Yeah, just all of it. Like just Edmonton being our representative, and I'm a snob. I actually like Edmonton. I like Edmonton for what it isn't, which is like a big glitzy city. It's kind of a good blue collar, you know, there's an earthiness to whenever I've been
to Hamilton of Alberta?
Yeah, more or less.
Okay.
More or less. But I like the Hammer too.
I went to McMaster, I'm a big fan.
You love it.
Yeah.
What I think is most interesting about this though is I think we're looking at the future for big events with the World Cup being spread out over three countries.
Like
it got attributed to a region as opposed to a place. The Olympics, people have been saying for years, they're just way too expensive for one city to bid on.
And for a lot of, for so many countries, you know, and this is not an elitism thing. This is just pure economics. Like when you have third world countries hosting it, I mean, Brazil, it feels like, you know, you hear all the stories about those stadiums are a waste. And Morocco is certainly not third world. But Morocco is a small country, 33 million, and 2026, they're expanding it. It's now 48 countries and 80 games. That's a lot to ask of, of that country.
And the security costs, the expectations that go into that now. It's just, it's a massive, massive undertaking. And the revenue just isn't there.
Yeah.
And there'll be less and less moving forward because the costs of mounting them are going to go up and up. So I'm looking at this. Now, the Olympics, I think, would suffer a little bit from a broad region like this because you wouldn't have an opening and a closing in the same way.
Yeah.
I think you want the Olympics to be fairly tight. Like you could do like a Northeastern North America and have New York and Philadelphia and Toronto and Montreal and
But there is nice about having the intimacy. In fact, there's only two reasons why you would give it to Morocco was a better time zone for TV, for, you know, for all Europe, Africa, Asia, things like that. And also smaller country, everything is more compact, so it creates more of a communal thing. But, you know, it just what's going to happen. But yeah, it, you're right. For the Olympics, you don't like it spread out too much.
This, I don't know why I'm so excited, though. Like, I find myself really genuinely excited that it's coming to North America. It's been here before. It's not like North America's never hosted one.
It's coming to Canada, and it will be in Toronto. You'll have
you
at
think
least.
So?
Oh, it is.
Well, no. We've got BMO, which can be.
No, it's a done deal. It's Edmonton, Toronto, and Montreal.
I'm not sure it's a done
deal. Yes, it is. It is those three cities with 10 games. It's going to be those three cities.
My understanding is, and I apologize for being misinformed if I am, but is that those are potential cities where it could be housed.
No, those are the three. I'm like, you know, and the only reason I would know this is today on TSN Radio, you know, John Herdman was on, Terry Dunfield was on, Rick right. Westhead, plus Gareth Wheeler is, you know, always
Gareth
lurking.
Must be bouncing around like a...
True story, by the way, true story.
Like a caffeinated gopher.
Gareth Wheeler, either he emailed or texted Corey Landsberg or sent out a tweet, was angry at us today because we're talking about John Tavares. We talked about John Tavares and the Leafs and stuff because there's an article in The Athletic. We talked about it for about 4 to 5 minutes today. That must have been Wheeler's listening. And he was angry. We were not talking more soccer.
Although, in fairness, remember when we had to do the Jermaine Defoe announcement live and carry that? And we basically turned it into wall-to-wall Jermaine Defoe is coming to TFC News.
Oh, God.
We were mandated to do very little,
yeah.
But we were mandated to do that.
Yeah.
You will be carrying this presser live. Ugh. But is it? Was didn't they call it a bloody big deal?
Yeah,
wasn't that the tagline?
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
A bloody, and the guy stayed like 10 months and then bailed.
God, yeah, that's right. That was actually probably TFC at its lowest. Woo, that was a stinker. I totally forgot about Jermaine Defoe. Oh,
I remember we had one of the players on. His name will be guarded. Well, I guess he said it publicly, but we had Jonathan Osorio on at the time, and it's like, so what's it like hanging out with him? And he was very diplomatic.
Yeah.
But you could kind of tell in the answer.
Read between the lines.
Yeah, we don't really hang out that much.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
He's
yeah,
not
yeah.
really a hang out with the guys kind of player.
No. No, that is true. So yeah, it's a big deal for Canada.
Or at least for Edmonton. The other thing is that the World Cup is about to start now in Russia. I think there's no point in you and I trying to do a preview.
Yeah. Oh, no.
We both know very little about international soccer.
All I want is to see the Ronaldo-Messi match, and I want to know who's going to be the villain. It was Suarez last time for all that biting. So who's going to be the villain? And I think if you don't have a country to root for early on, you root for Iceland, whose population is less than half of Mississauga.
I always try to figure out what's the closest thing to my sphere of influence. And I've got family in Germany, so I'm going for Germany.
There you go.
And they're good. Mm-hmm. So you get to root for a good team, which is a nice change. Because you know me, I tend to pick these lousy teams and then get hammered. I keep thinking, though, it's in Russia and how weird it is. Like, these big international bodies, I understand why they go to the countries that give them the most money.
Yeah,
And with FIFA... don't ask, don't tell, right?
Yeah. Wait. When the NCAA is being corrupt, FIFA goes, hold my beer. Okay, watch this. You see what you're like, just, yeah, like, get out of here. Get out of NCAA. Oh, Nick Saban's paid so much money. What? The Alabama strength coach makes over $500,000 a year?
Hold my beer is funny. I just feel like it's really, anything that normalizes certain areas of the world, it kind of disturbs me.
Qatar.
Yeah.
The slaves that are dying building stadiums.
You know, I do think it's healthy to have a certain division between politics and sports because in a world that's as polarized and angry as ours is, it is kind of nice that you can put politics aside for a moment.
Yeah.
But it just kind of sits a little
it's
wrong.
It's lingering
with me.
There like a fart in an elevator.
Yeah. Well, maybe not that bad, but. No, maybe that bad.
Maybe
though.
That bad.
Maybe that bad.
Maybe that bad.
So that's all I got to say about soccer, Maddie.
Yeah.
I'm pretty excited that the games are here because the Jays are kind of hard to watch right now.
Jays are really hard to watch. They're irrelevant. That's the problem. Like, it's one thing if you're bad. And I say this over and over. It's one thing if you're bad, but there's young players that you can see are going to be part of the future. Well, they're bad and they don't have any players of the future. Yeah. And the only good thing we had was, hey, what did Vladdy do last night? No, Vladdy's now out for 4 weeks. And now you hear, Troy Tulowitzki, is he coming back? The worst bone spurs on the planet. And then what's going on with Donaldson? Oh, and Stroman is pitching a simulated game. It's like, oh, just there's nothing. Nothing. I only have one thing of interest with the Jays game yesterday.
But. All right, I do too, and let's see if it's the same thing. Is it the number and way that Tampa Bay used its pitching?
Yeah.
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 Six pitchers yeah. in a game that they won. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not crazy to see six pitchers in a game, but usually it's because you're getting blown out
yep.
and you're just trying to limp to the end.
Yeah.
But their strategy going in was to pitch basically the bullpen.
Start with the bullpen first, because if you feel your bullpen arm is your best arm, get him in the first inning because you're going to face the meat of the order. Then get your starter in. Now, Tampa did this because they've had so many injuries to their starters.
Right. And specifically two right-handers are down.
Yeah. Yeah. But
so they put Ryan Stanek in, who is a bullpen guy. Mm-hmm. And basically, they just roll out guys for a couple innings, mm-hmm. let them get through, and treat every situation like a close-it-down situation. And it worked.
It did work.
So here's what I want to throw out to you. On one hand, and we've seen Tampa Bay do this before, be kind of revolutionary in how it views the strategy of baseball. Do you like this?
No. I hate it.
Yeah, me too.
I hate it because of the unintended consequence of less offense, more strikeouts, fewer balls in play. I hate this. Listen, I love the idea of outside-the-box thinking, and you love the idea of something novel, new, innovative, but this is just like, there's two things that's really hurting baseball right now. All the teams that are tanking, because you got a lot of really crappy teams, and this, you know, the what we're seeing with the shifts and this and that, where just everyone is either striking out or hitting home runs. No balls in play. Don't like it.
So let's further that a little bit, because it's a really smart move. And a lot of credit to Kevin Cash for, A, having the guts to do it. A lot yep. of credit to the team, particularly the pitching staff, for doing it. Because, you know, these guys don't like to do anything different.
Yeah.
You know, I was listening to The Fan, and it was Blair and the guys talking about the Jays. And what would happen if John Gibbons went to Marco Estrada
yeah.
and said, hey, you know, we're gonna start you in the third inning, okay?
Yeah.
And he'd be like, as if, right?
Yeah.
And you could see that. Like, veterans don't want to do it. So good on the rotation to actually be open-minded. But here's the problem. Solutions make sports dull.
Yeah.
Right? Like the Tampa Bay Rays have come up with a really great solution to an awkward problem.
Mm-hmm.
And it's boring.
Yeah.
Like what you like is chaos. What you like is drama.
You know what hurt the NHL? 200-foot player.
Right.
Defensively responsible.
Neutral zone trap.
Neutral zone trap hurts the game. You know what makes the game great? Defensemen that are mediocre to only decent. And, you know, maybe goaltenders that aren't always on their game. Aesthetically, that makes the game better.
The NCAA tournament is more interesting than the NBA playoffs because it's so less predictable. Because
yeah.
the players, it's not that they're not as good as that, or that teams aren't better than other teams. It's that they're young. They make mistakes.
Yeah.
The World Juniors every year, fascinating. Memorial Cup.
Yeah.
Except for certain years where there's clearly front runners.
Yeah.
I don't know anything could happen. They're kids and there's mm-hmm. there's frozen sheet ice.
Yeah.
Mistakes happen. Here's my biggest reason for not liking last night's. I agree with everything you said.
Yeah.
But the strategy that the Rays employed last night. One of the most heroic performers in the sports world is the starting pitcher.
Yeah.
And by heroic, I mean the one who is capable of the memorable performance.
Because Jack Morris, 10 innings, 91 World Series.
You know, the complete game is different than a game where you go 3-for-4 at the plate because you're only up 4 times, but the pitcher is out there 9 times.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the Ferris Bueller 9 times. And it's really hard to get to the end of the game. And the stats are telling us now, you know, third time through, it's become almost a cliche.
Yeah.
Starters start to get shelled. They get tired and pitchers and hitters figure them out. But the idea of like the Verlander type performance, you know, where he's like making it.
It's heroic. It is heroic. It is part. It's one of the great narratives in baseball is because it's the pitcher on their own. They're on the mound.
Right.
And it's them facing these hitters. And also, you know, with a new pick, like the thing is, you also have more of an emotional connection towards that starter versus a bunch of the middle relievers.
Next to golf and tennis, I can't think of anything that you do more on your own than starting pitching. I guess goaltending, but goaltending, you're kind of relying on your defense as well.
There are three things. There's goaltender, starting quarterback, And the starting pitcher.
But the starting quarterback, I thought about that, but it's a bit different because you've got a running game to help you out,
yep.
and the quality of your receivers makes a big difference.
Yep.
A starting pitcher has really only what's in his arsenal.
Oh, yeah.
What comes out of his hand.
A great starter, you can have a team that loses 105 games, but if you've got a legit ace, once out of every 5 days, that guy on his own can completely flip the script and give your team and the fan base hope. And what's going on here is destroying that. And I got to tell you, I agree with you. I love just the narrative of that starter.
It makes sense that in 10 to 15 years, more teams will do this.
Yeah.
Because it's a way to get through a game when you don't have what we're discussing, which is the heroic
yeah.
super performer.
Yeah.
There's very few of those. There's lots of guys who can get you three outs.
Yeah.
And so, if baseball looks more like this in 15 years, I think there's going to be a whole generation of fan that's deprived of the great starting pitcher.
You know what you're deprived of? This question. Like when you were a Jays fan in 2003, the one question you'd always ask, when is Roy pitching?
Right.
Because, you know, you would make a little bit more of an effort to watch that game. And
Dave Steeb before him,
you know, in every team during certain generations, you had that
Roger
player.
Clemens. When's Clemens pitching?
Yeah. Like it meant something a little bit more. And yeah. And that's going away. And that kind of stinks.
So this kind of evolves into an almost a Macklin cause big question kind of topic.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you and I are both pro analytics in the sense that if you're trying to win,
yeah.
it's stupid to not.
Information and innovation is great, and to turn your back on it is ridiculous.
But here's the problem is that solutions, like, they don't stay hidden for long. Everybody's
yeah.
looking for that competitive edge. You know, like you said, how many teams are tanking? Well, it wasn't that way 10 years ago, and then the Cubs and the Astros did it.
Now
everyone's like, now we all got to do it.
Yeah, now the division between the haves and have-nots is huge.
So what starts off as a strategic advantage where you sort of figure out the system,
yeah.
it just turns into something that everybody does.
Yeah, yeah, it's true. The one solution Keith Law from ESPN was talking about today is you got to just make the strike zone smaller. And specifically around the stuff around the knees. You do that and you're going to get more balls in play and you're going to get more offense. And the great thing about that is that's a much easier, you know, at least that's an easier, quick way of trying to fix the problems with offense versus trying to say no more shifting or limit the amount of relievers you can use.
It's funny because in a way it's almost as heretical a thought as changing the size of the nets in hockey.
Yeah.
Except for this fact that it's so subjective anyway. It's not like the strike zone is the strike zone.
Yeah.
We all kind of acknowledge each ump comes to the plate mm-hmm. with their strike zone.
And if certain batters are at the plate, Jose Bautista, maybe the strike zone's a little bit different.
Maybe it expands, maybe it doesn't. You yeah. know,
did you show me up last time? Oh, okay.
And also even just we know that some umps like to give the inside corner more than the other. It's kind of subjective. So it's not as empirical. It's not as concrete
yeah.
as the nets in hockey. I like that idea, though. They got to do something.
Yeah, got to do something.
They got to do something.
Yep. Before we move on to what you have to your right, you have a hat and a magazine.
Mm-hmm.
Want to give a quick shout out to Seat Giant. They are one of our Canadian partners on the show. Concert tickets, sporting event tickets, everything and anything in North America that you need for a show. You need a ticket. Where do you go? Oh, you go to seatgiant.ca and it's all in Canadian dollars. Yep. No conversions necessary. Stop paying U.S. dollars for your tickets. Canadian-owned and operated company, that be Seat Giant. And go to when you're done, you're at checkout, use the discount code Bob and Matt. You will save some money. We get a small cut. You get to save cash. It's win-win. SeatGiant.ca.
Do you want to do Nick Nurse as the head coach of the Raptors, or do you want to do the Carlson-Hoffman situation? Just do Carlson-Hoffman.
Yeah. So, in a nutshell, last year, Erik Karlsson and his wife, I think her name is Melinda, I don't have the names in front of me, they suffered one of the worst tragedies you can do as a couple. Their child was born stillborn. They lost their child. This was devastating. And they still gave their child a name and said, we're so glad we could be his parents. It was horrible. And the outpouring, of course, of sympathy was there. And then somewhere on Instagram, someone wrote, well, I feel bad for this kid, but they never had a chance because Melinda was popping pills. And horrible, online trolls at its worst. And then you find out that the person that did this, this was a specific account that's been doing it over and over again. And Eric Carlson said, you've been doing this for years to us, or for a year to us, but shame on you, you've gone too far. Then you find out the other day, it's a specific person. It's Eric Carlson's teammate, Mike Hoffman. It's not him, but his fiance. Now they, of course, the fiance and Hoffman are denied it 150%. But here's the thing. The Carlson family went to a, got a like restraining order, went to a justice of the peace. They took the law in their own hands. You don't do that unless you've done tons of research and evidence. And I'm not talking about Twitter bots that use some analytics that triangulated that this account going up against the 76ers was related to Brian Colangelo. You've done so much work. So now where are we? What happens in Ottawa? What happens with Hoffman? He can't be on that team anymore, can he?
No. No, he can't, because even though Carlson was probably very possibly going to go regardless because of free agency, I think that Hoffman can't stay no matter what.
Yeah.
Has the team really said much about this?
No.
They probably don't know enough.
No.
And they if they did, they wouldn't know what to say.
Yeah. But the question is, how long have they known? Because they've obviously known about this for a little while.
Well, we're assuming it's true. We're assuming it's true based on the evidence that they took extra steps.
Yeah, we know there's trolling that's been going on.
Right.
Well, we don't know. And Hoffman has come and said, me and my fiance, we're not part of this. We're 150%. This is not us. We are here to help and to cooperate with any investigation.
What we don't know in this, the wild card in all of this, is we don't know the woman who allegedly sent the posts, right? We don't know, is she the kind of person who would do this?
Yep.
It feels like you would probably spend an hour with someone and make your own mind up. Does this seem like somebody who's stable, or does this seem someone was jealous or angry, or for whatever reason someone would behave that way?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know her, so it's hard to say, do I think she's the kind of person who would do it or not? I'm with you. If it gets to this point, where there's smoke, there tends to be fire.
Yeah.
There tends to be fire.
And this isn't a casual accusation. This isn't like Carlson saying to a writer from the Ottawa Citizen, hey, you know what I think's happening? Hoffman's fiance, she's, no. They went to the justice. They went to the courts. You don't do that willy-nilly. And the thing is, let's say Hoffman's innocent. Let's say his fiance, it wasn't her. You can't put the genie back in the bottle. And here's the analogy I give. Let's say you accuse your roommate of stealing. Hey, where's my $200? You stole my money. Mm-hmm. Then 2 hours later, you find the money. It's underneath the couch. Guess what? You still accuse your roommate, and your roommate's like, what? You think I'm the sort of person that would steal your $200? There's no way of walking any of this back when Eric Carlson's wife and them are on the record of saying Hoffman's fiance has done this to us.
All right. So you're curious about what happens next. I think it's a given, to your point, that they can't be on the same team. Mm-hmm. I think it's a given that Hoffman can't be a senator anymore.
Yeah.
And I don't know how this affects Carlson staying in town or not. I guess a lot of it depends on how does the ownership treat him.
What did the ownership know? And also, if the ownership, and we don't know if Eugene Melnyk and all them knew this was going on, but said, let's keep this quiet, well, then you can't keep Carlson.
Well, yeah, and then the whole league looks at that and says,
yeah,
you know, they're basically just a Viking funeral raft at that point. You should push them out into the middle of the lake and just let them burn down and go away. Can you, here's the most compelling question to me. Take out the suffering that couple had to face, because that's awful. But the hockey question for me is, if you're another team, like he can't stay with Ottawa.
Nope.
But do you trade for him?
No. Nope.
You could probably get him like for pennies on the dollar.
Here's the thing.
But you're bringing in somebody now who's committed. If he was part of this, you know, those rooms are small. And that culture, they don't forgive.
And also, you have to remember, this is not just about the locker room. Imagine you're a player on another team, and now you tell your wife, Hoffman's coming to our team. She's like, wait a minute, you mean the guy whose fiance did that about a stillborn child? I don't want to be around that wife. I don't know if I want to be around Hoffman. Like, it's going to cause, it's not just what disarray might cause in the locker room, it's the disarray it's going to cause in so many individual families.
Hoffman's a good player.
He is.
And the distance between winning and losing is so small in the NHL. If you're a GM, do you look at this and say, I think we can get this guy? Especially if you believe he didn't have anything to do with it.
That it was just his fiancée.
Yeah, like what if he didn't really know or didn't really understand? He knew that the two of them didn't get along but had no idea this was going on.
Yeah.
Which is a possible scenario.
Oh, yeah. Everything is a possibility. I'm not saying they're guilty.
How do you turn to your team, though? Sorry to interrupt you, but how do you turn to your team and say, we're going to do this because we think it's going to make us better on the ice?
Yeah.
But I will say this, though. This one's really bad, and it's public. But there have been rumors throughout the sports world for as long as there's been rumors that guys will sleep with other players' wives.
Yep.
Or, you know, there's just like all kinds of insane personal this dynamics stuff has that happen.
Listen,
bad things have happened
bad
before.
Bad things have happened. Absolutely.
You know, there was the two Yankees. Remember, they swapped wives. I can't remember their names. I think Matt Damon actually bought the story and was
going to make
a movie
about it. Yeah, that was
like in the 70s. Yeah, in the 70s. Like, they changed wives.
Yeah, and then, by the way, that one's not even bad if the wives, you know, are fully contending. That's just a bunch of adults that are exploring their sexuality.
I was going to say, that's so 70s.
I know.
That's so 1975.
Oh, yeah. Well, again, there's only three channels on TV. You were bored. You had more time on your hands. You know, it doesn't happen to Netflix here. It's like, hey, do you want to switch wives? Or you tell your wife, hey, do you want to switch partners? Maybe, but we have to watch The Crown. And did you see that new show with Hader? And, oh, by the way, we got to catch up on this one.
Matt, it's Netflix and chill, not Netflix and swap.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know what happens next. This is a crazy story, and it's a lot worse in a lot of ways than the Brian Colangelo one.
It's far worse.
Because there's one thing to disclose information, like medical information, trade information. Those are proprietary secrets.
Yep.
But this is just wrong. This stinks like a rotten egg.
This is horrible on every human level. Like, imagine in Philly, like the story was big with happened with Colangelo.
Yeah.
But imagine if this was the story. Joel Embiid and the coach of the 76ers have gone to a court to issue a restraining order against Brian Colangelo.
Right.
How much bigger would that story
have been? Or Brian Colangelo's wife.
Or Brian Colangelo, just Colangelo and his wife. Yeah. How much bigger would that story have been?
Yeah, it's big now.
It would have been up much, much bigger, and then put on top of it the horrible nature of the trolling versus, Colangelo's wife defended his callers.
The other hockey question that pops into my mind is, if you're the PA, who are you defending? Are you defending the player's right to be properly investigated, or are you defending the player's right to not be surrounded in a bullying and venomous environment?
Ooh, good question, because if no team goes after, let's say Hoffman is released. I don't know all the machinations of the CBA. But imagine if Hoffman is out there and no team signs him. Well, MLB was yelling about collusion this past offseason because teams were tanking. Does the union fight for Hoffman? And if this is all true, and we got to keep saying, if this all these allegations are true, does the union fight for him and say, shame on you for collusion? Or is this the one time where the union will protect guys who, you know, slam other guys' heads against the plate glass windows? Do they defend Hoffman here?
Name a high-profile athlete who has been basically shut out of a professional league because of his personal beliefs, nothing to do with on the field, but everything to do with what his personal actions are. Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that the two of these are analogous in the sense that, you know, they're obviously different.
Yeah.
Right? Like, one is a political stance, and the other one is, like, this is some pretty shady business.
Yeah.
But that said, though, is it the expectation that a player association will fight to make sure this guy keeps his job?
Yeah. That's a great question.
There's no way anyone could say he doesn't belong in the NHL.
From a pure talent-wise, absolutely he does.
And it's not like Slava Voynov, where there was this situation, like that was a legal thing.
Yeah.
You know, he was.
Yeah.
Now, we don't know.
And we don't know if Hoffman even knew any of this was going 100%. On.
We don't know. Like, this might be a legal thing with Hoffman. I don't know. But there is a version of this in which he is an innocent bystander.
Yeah. Also, what's interesting, just taken away from this specific case, the idea of Twitter burner accounts causing chaos in sports. Well, that was never a narrative for the last, you know, for the last 7 or 8 years. Mm-hmm. When, you know, 7, 8 years ago when Twitter started to pick up. And now it's happened twice in like 3 weeks.
Right. And there was the KD story earlier.
There was the Kevin Durant story from a couple years ago. That one was more just, let's make fun of Kevin Durant. How many more are out there?
Well, cyberbullying is a huge problem. I mean, I got a little kid, yeah, and I think about this every day. She's not at the point where she's online as an independent person yet.
Yeah.
But it's coming.
Mm-hmm.
And everything that I see is that people don't know how to behave online.
Yeah.
Like, as bad as they can be to each other in real life, they're just worse to each other online.
Because you're protected.
100, you know, you got the anonymity.
Yep.
You've got the, I didn't think this through.
Mm-hmm.
And you got the, I wasn't looking the person in the eye.
Which yep.
We
which
all
is
know.
A huge one.
It's a huge one.
Like, yep.
You know, there's a lot of things we can't do when you're staring at the person.
Louis C.K. said it best in that famous interview he did on Conan O'Brien, saying, if you, when, and he says he would watch his children do this. If you see a kid go up to another kid and say, you're fat,
mm-hmm,
the other kid reacts sadly. But then the person who did, who said that you're fat, they react negatively because now they're seeing the impact they're having on the other person. And it creates this empathy where it's like no one wins. And it will often curb that that negative behavior. But if you type, you're fat, enter, you don't. There's not the same emotional repercussions. And it's the same thing here. It's why, I mean, there would be interesting if there was a way with Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, you can only have an account if your identity is fully revealed and everyone knows who you are.
And there are great privacy issues that arise from that you and I couldn't solve.
Nope, we're not smart enough.
And I don't know really who would be. I think the word troll is such a fantastic word. It's so evocative, not just because it suggests like bad and evil behavior.
Yeah.
But where do we find trolls?
Under bridges.
Hiding under the bridge.
Yep.
And they just make their appearance mm-hmm every so often, but really they spend most of their time
yeah
hiding out of sight. I love that phrase because it really does underline what you just said, the psychology behind it. In my mind, like, we threw these out as hypotheticals. To me, it's pretty obvious. If you're the PA, you back up Eric Carlson and his family. Like, they are the innocent victims in all of this.
What if Mike Hoffman's agent screams collusion down the road?
You know,
what if he doesn't get a job?
Yeah.
Then what is it? Then what does the union do?
It's a great question. And I think in the end, the truth is you have to fight for them both. And they may wind up fighting separate battles. But at least at this point in the discussion, you got to be behind Eric Carlson.
Yeah.
More publicly than the Mike Hoffman side of things.
100%.
That's a bad thing, Matt.
And it, by the way, it's That's not bad. It is not going away. Like we always joke in the summer, huh? What are we going to talk about now? And it's like, okay, we got World Cup. This story ain't going away.
The NHL's been really, I mean, I say they've been good at it, but it's kind of not very savory. But there have been stories around high-profile athletes they have, particularly with sexual misconduct,
yep,
that have kind of gone away.
Yep.
They've been swept under the radar. They've been successful at throwing a blanket on that. I don't know if you could get away with it today
mm-hmm
because of our increased sensitivity and awareness of these issues. But this might be an example of that, Maddie, where you can't hide things anymore. Stuff that you could do 3, 4, 5 years ago, like people, they will not forgive you for this.
Nope. Not when this involves a stillborn child.
It's pretty bad.
It's also, you know what? It's also confusing. Like when I saw those messages sent to Eric Carlson's wife, I like, you know, you're filled with anger, but I'm also filled with confusion.
Because it seems psychotic.
Yeah. It's like, why? Like, life is too short. I mean, I joke all the, because I'm like the friendly, happy guy. Well, I joke all the time. If I got to live to be 750, I would, you know, put off, I would spend 40 years being a massive prick. Hey, why not? But like, life is short. Like, why would you do that?
People are mad, though. There's a lot of mad people out there. When Samantha Bee used the C word to describe Melania.
Ivanka Trump.
Ivanka, thank you. I saw a lot of pictures at the time of Trump supporters who had shirts about Hillary, and she was, you know, yeah, they were using the same word. And you think to yourself, wow, like, there really aren't a lot of thresholds we won't cross now.
Yeah.
Like, people will say horrible things and feel good about it.
Yeah.
Look, I don't want to play the babe in the woods, and I'm not the happy guy that you are, but I'm also kind of innocent in a way.
Mm-hmm.
You and I don't think have that gear to get that angry.
No.
I've never been that mad at anyone.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember the most angry I've been at someone.
Everybody has bad stuff happen to him, but I can't imagine doing that.
Yeah.
Anyway. The last thing, the other reason it seems psychotic is there's no story that would explain why this relationship would be so sour.
Yeah.
Like, they're just two people.
There's
barely connected.
There's a lot of stories where this came from. And we're going to learn a lot more. And by the way...
Yeah, there's more, right? Like, this is the tip of the iceberg. It has to be.
By the way...
Are you already starting to hear rumors?
No, not yet. The one... And there's not a lot of comedy here, but the one thing I found amusing in the Ottawa Citizen, that's the newspaper that broke this story, the picture of Erik Karlsson and his wife, they look great. It's from some sort of function, and they look like wonderful, upstanding, good-looking people. Then the shot they had of Mike Hoffman and his fiance, they both look like they just committed a real crime.
Right.
And they look really shady.
Right.
And that use of that picture, that's a choice. And, you know, I'm fine with that, you know, but I did take a giggle. Like, they did not find the good photo of the... It's like when you want to make fun of Donald Trump, you do the one who's bending over the golf course where he's got the giant ass that looks like two sacks of potatoes.
Nick Nurse. Named the head coach of the Raptors. How do we feel about this?
Before we get to that, Bob, you want to speak to that?
Jeff Pollock?
You want to talk about
the law here?
Yeah. Well, we just finished talking about the law. And you know what I do feel great about? The one thing I don't wonder about or questions or, ooh, a story's going to come out. There's only one story. Flash, headline. You need a lawyer. Well, we've got a great lawyer for you. Jeff Pollock at jeffpollock.com. That's Jeff with a G. Jeffpollock.com. 416-777 0088 416-777-0088. Very simple. It's a very successful law firm. But the one thing I like about them, they treat you like a person. All the extra touches go the extra distance. They make you feel comfortable. And at the end of the day, you feel like you're in great hands. Simple as that. His wife deals with all the stuff on the accounting at epollock.com. He deals with all the law stuff. It's just this warm feeling of I am safe with him.
How much time do we have left? I can't imagine there's much.
There's not a lot. There's
15?
There is nine.
Nine.
Ten.
Okay, well, we got a lot of topics to blast through here.
Yeah. Real. You know what? My thought on Nick Nurse is a simple one. Everyone goes meh about it because whenever there's a new coach, you want that big, shiny, fancy celebrity coach. Raptors did it once with Lenny Wilkins. He slept through that job and did absolutely nothing. Nick Nurse, deserving of the opportunity, and I got no problems at all with it. If we have faith in Masai Ujiri, or at least believe he deserves a certain level of benefit of the doubt, I'm fine with it.
I think Masai favors continuity, and the thing with Dwayne Casey, he probably didn't really want to do. I think that he likes the culture that he's building here.
Yeah.
Dwayne Casey was a victim of a particularly bad playoff run. You know, they could have won...
Runs...
Well, fair enough. But if they had gone six games against the Cavs, if they had won the two games that looked like they were going to win, he doesn't get fired. I don't think. It's because they got swept.
Yeah.
It just looked really bad. Mm-hmm. Just like, you know, LeBron's probably looking at Cleveland saying, we didn't even win a freaking game. I got to get out of here. But if it had gone six or seven, at least they look competitive. I think that coaching really matters in the NBA. People are like, you know, roster is destiny. And to a sense, it's, you know, that's true. But I mean, look at what Brad Stevens has been able to do in Boston. You know, the matchups you are able to exploit.
Yep.
The managing the minutes, like all of this stuff. It's there's so many levels to basketball X's and O's. If he's good, they'll be better.
Yeah, if he is good and they keep it together, they should be. The bench will be better. The only concern about the Raptors is if Kyle Lowry has the just... You
is
know,
this it, the year?
Is this the year where everything just starts to, you know?
I agree. I can't see DeMar being
No. DeMar's
much worse.
DeMar's going to be just as good this year as he was last year. Yeah. He's like 27, 20 years old. I don't worry about him and his performance. I worry about Kyle Lowry. He's older, a little bit more beat up, not a guy who's taking care of his body to the same extent as DeMar DeRozan.
It's weird. It's for a team that was worried that it looked terrible,
They
did very little to change their look.
Yeah. No, like, listen, they bring everyone back. Low-end, 48 wins. High-end, 55, 56.
Yep.
You know, everything obviously depends on health. But that's what the Raptors are going to be. They're going to entertain you for 5 months.
Health in the Celtics. I mean, geez, I'm reading all kinds of stories about how they could swing a deal for Kawhi Leonard. I don't want to see that.
Yeah.
Kyrie, Kawhi, Jason Tatum on the same team.
Yep.
With Al Horford.
Yep.
Like, they could do a deal for a pick and Jaylen Brown and actually swing it and still keep all those guys. Man, they're insanely stacked. I don't even want to think about it.
All right.
If you're Philadelphia, you got Markelle Fultz that you can deal because he is, after all,
The number one
overall pick.
Yeah, Markel Fultz could have a huge impact on the league next year if he can develop, you know, at least start to develop a confident jump shot.
Let's just say he becomes an all-star. He doesn't even have to be great. He's a Kyle Lowry level all-star.
Oh, my God.
You still have an all-star guard. Yeah. You know, between that and their number 10 pick, this is pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay, so quickly here. I like to go through your magazine rack in the bathroom when I come over to see what you've got.
Yep.
We've got the world's best wine magazine here from July 2007. It's Decanter Magazine.
Decanter is the number one wine magazine.
Better than Wine Spectator?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so this is kind of like the Bible. It's like Variety or Billboard or something.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay, so screaming headline on this one. Terroir, myth or reality? Which is it?
Oh, by the way, that's always probably the number one raging argument in the wine world. Terroir, of course, you know, basically.
Isn't that just the earth?
Yeah, well, it's more than that. It's the soil, the weather, you know, it's everything that nature provides at that moment. Why does Riesling taste different in Clare Valley, Australia versus the Rheingau
in Germany?
Is this
like nature versus nurture?
It totally is.
Okay.
I do believe in terroir. I think sometimes we wax a little too poetic on it because it's you know what terroir is like?
No.
It's like momentum. You know, and you know, like think of the cliche narratives that we in the media love to use. Terroir certainly has some of that. Leadership, grit, heart, blah blah blah, but terroir is a legitimate thing.
So could you grow a good wine in Peru?
No. No, yeah, the temperature.
Because I didn't understand your answer at all.
No, temperature's too hot. The soil just wouldn't be appropriate for it. I bet the land would be too wet. So no, I don't think you could.
Isn't the Argo season starting soon?
Toronto Argonauts season starts this week. It is against Saskatchewan.
This week?
Yeah.
Like in a couple days?
Yeah, in a couple days.
Get out.
CFL season starting.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, they won the Grey Cup last year.
Sure did, Bob.
I know. Bear Woods isn't back.
Bear Woods is back, Bob.
Oh, he is?
Yeah.
Damn it. I was kind of half watching something. Oh, well. I mean, no problem. Hey, now I'm a golfer.
Yeah.
I don't have to worry about the Argos anymore. Now I'm a golf guy.
Yeah.
I'm watching the first round starting tomorrow. I got a shocking announcement for you.
Oh, yeah, yeah. What's your
We don't have a lot of time. So we were up north this week.
Yep. Cottaging.
Cottaging. And we were out fishing.
Yeah.
And we're catching fish like crazy.
Oh, nice.
It was a good time. It was a good time. And, you know, you throw the ones back that are too small. But
Rock bass.
Yeah, but we caught an eight. Like, you know, there was a largemouth that came in at about 3 pounds, and it was big enough to bring in and eat, and it was good.
Wow, nice.
Yeah, it was great. But
Wait, hold on. Before the announcement. So who, like, killed and gutted the fish?
Oh, my nephew. My nephew's like a YouTube fish assassin. Like he had everything. Like he went back, got the cookie sheet, a couple bags. He had a filleting knife on him.
Oh wow!
He's like his hero's Bear Grylls. He's like the outdoorsy kid. Okay, he's a great kid.
Just my little nephew. Yeah.
Oh no, not me.
Yeah.
Oh no. No, you've seen me eat a sandwich before.
Yeah.
I got stubby fingers. I can't do that. But here's the shocking announcement.
Yeah.
I have decided I want to go hunting.
What?
Yeah. I've got hunters in my family on my wife's side.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I don't have a philosophical problem with it as long as you eat what you shoot. I don't believe in game hunting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know,
you're not hanging out with like with Donald Trump's children shooting giraffe.
Right, exactly. You know, I'll get my friends together and head over to the Galapagos and shoot some Komodo dragons.
Exactly. Stupid dragon. we got you good.
But, you know, I eat meat, so it seems kind of hypocritical to be anti-hunting if you're going to eat it.
Yeah.
And I would only hunt for something that you would actually eat, like, you know, turkey or something.
Yeah, so instead of hunting for deals at the grocery store, you're going to be hunting in the wild.
So I've decided this summer I'm going to get my gun license, and I am going to hunt.
You really going to get your gun license, Bob?
Well, I'm not watching the Argos, so I got time.
So, Bob, what's going to happen first? Are you going to shoot your own dinner before you actually get your driver's license?
That's a good question. Is it easier to learn how to use a gun than a car?
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say it is easier to.
Okay.
And also in the States, it's far easier to get the gun than it is the car.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I think that it's something I'd really like to try.
Yep.
As opposed to driving where I'm indifferent at best.
Yep. So once again, it's going to be another year. You're not going to get your driver's license. But you're right. This is a major announcement. It's going to surprise me. I did not expect you to say, I'm going to go get my hunter's license.
This is really weird, Matt. Like, in this, I have just announced this episode that I am a golfer and a hunter.
You're a golfer and a hunter. That is pretty elitist. Because hunting is, you know what's funny about hunting? Adam Carolla's got a bit called Rich Man, Poor Man, like showering outdoors.
Right.
It means you're really rich and you got an outdoor shower, or, you know, you're poor and you're showering.
Standing in the rain.
Yeah, exactly. Right. I feel the same with hunters. I feel like hunting is either backwoods thing because you need, you know,
you need the food.
Or you're a big game hunter. It doesn't feel like the middle class does a lot of hunting.
I think there are a lot of people who are very connected to the environment.
Yeah.
Like Ducks Unlimited.
Yeah.
The people who want to preserve the wetlands are the hunters, but I think they have more respect for it than people who just, you know, if buy a hamburger, take a bike, toss it over your shoulder.
Yeah, it's like, to me, it's up to me. It's Ducks Limited because I love eating ducks.
But you'd want them unlimited because there would be a constant supply.
Oh, that would be good.
Well, maybe I'll bag a duck, Maddie.
Oh, that'd be great.
I'm pretty sure that I would never actually successfully hunt an animal.
Yeah.
Because I am a clawed.
Yeah.
But I guess it's possible.
Hey, listen, you didn't know you could drive a ball? Maybe you're an expert shot.
Well, for all the things I'm not, yeah. I mean, here's more things.
Very exciting.
Yeah.
Look out, animals. Mackowitz is on the loose.
So I got a little bit of work to do this week.
Yep.
And then next week I'm going to investigate. What do I have to do?
I can't wait till our next podcast next Thursday. I can't wait to see where you are with the four iron and with, you know, with a shotgun.
Now, the four iron's one that's got like kind of been on a slant.
Sure. I don't know. I have no idea.
Do I have to get clubs now?
It's usually the case. That's, you know, what you hit the ball with.
Can't you just get them when you go?
I haven't golfed since 1991. I have no idea.
Right.
This has been exciting. Bob, I've missed you. Good to see you.
Yeah, it's good to see you too. Are we out of time?
We're out of time.
All right. So who do you think is going to win? Marlies or Stars?
I think the Marlies are going to win. They outshot the Stars like 45-21. The first goal last night by some dude, Curtis McKenzie. There were so many cheap shots on Martin Marincin, and then McKenzie's the one who got the puck and scored. Fewer turnovers, fewer mistakes. Marlies win that game.
Have you ever known that much about a Marlies game before?
No.
Right.
You were shocked by my knowledge, weren't you? Shocked by my knowledge, yeah?
No, you were on a roll.
Bam, I came in prepared.
I think Curtis McKenzie is the Stars captain, isn't he?
Yeah.
I got to tell you, dude, they got to fix that AHL broadcast, though.
Yeah.
It's borderline unwatchable.
Yeah,
absolutely. I'm not trying to be a broadcast snob here. Oh, Landsberg's calling.
Is he really?
Yeah, should I put him on speaker?
Yeah, put him on speaker.
Hang on a second. Hey, Landsberg, just finishing up the pod. Can I put you on speaker? Hang on. Hey, buddy. Hello?
Hello?
So we're just wrapping up. Look, say hi to your pal, Matt.
Hi, Michael.
Matt Cause. God, I can't get away from you. Seriously. I sprinted on TSN today to go, oh my God, I can't listen to this guy. Yes, he's funny. Yes, he's clever. And yes, he is mildly cute. But there's only so much of that I can take.
Hey, you know what? Bob feels the same way. And you know what? I look in the mirror, I feel the same way as well. 1 second, Michael. Bob's got to give his famous catchphrase to end the podcast. Are you okay for waiting for 4 seconds?
Sure.
Bye, Bob.
Bye, Matt.
Thanks for listening to the Macko and Cause podcast. Remember to subscribe on iTunes or Audioboom. And if you like the podcast, leave a review. If you don't like the podcast, then maybe don't leave a review.